single day of our life.
And the written word is given by inspiration of God, and then the Lord blesses ministers to preach the written word to God's little children so that they might be instructed and guided as you go day by day in your life. There's a whole lot in the Bible. There's more in the Bible than any minister can preach, and all the ministers collectively can preach. And so when it comes time to stand before God's people, we don't just come saying, okay, what's my plan today? We come begging God to guide us and direct us so that we might meet the needs of the Lord's sheep and the Lord's lambs. The purpose of the minister, the world thinks many of God's people believe that the minister's job is to make the children of God go preach to them and make them God's children. Go teach them to know the Lord. Go teach them to believe in Him. Turn them from goats to sheep. Make them from dead to alive. And that has never been the role or what the Lord has ever called any minister to do. As a matter of fact, the preaching of the gospel will not benefit the dead one bit. It will not be of any benefit to the dead. The preaching of the gospel is to the living, to those who are already been made alive by the grace of Almighty God. And the purpose of that is to teach us who are alive in Christ by the grace of God how to live and act and behave in this world, that not only we would find joy and peace and rest, which we do, but that most importantly, our lives would be to the glory and the honor and the praise of Almighty God. And that's really why you're here on the planet. I know we think we're here for a lot of reasons, you know. Why are we here? Why are you alive? Why did God make you? God made you that you might honor and praise and glorify Him. He made you for the same reason He made the trees and the grass and the flowers and the birds. All of His creation declares the glory of God and is to give praise and honor to Him. When you look up at the stars at night, remember God named every one of them and placed them there, the work of His fingers. The sun was made to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. And all of those things testify of the glory of God. In the day, it does that. In the night, it does that. And then God has made us and put us on the earth. And today is the day the Lord made, that He's given to us. The day is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so this morning, as we come and look at this passage, think of it as that which God has not only pinned down and given to us and recorded to us, but as we are moved to look at it together. I don't believe it's just happenstance that we open the Bible somewhere and start talking. I believe if we're following the Lord, He moves us to look at particular passages. You know, sometimes I'll get a text from someone who's found a particular verse, and they'll send me that and right in the middle of the day, and it'll just come right in on my phone, and I'll pop it up, and I'll go like, boy, I really needed that one right then. And I don't know that they even had a clue how much I might have needed that. Or I could be listening to a song or a hymn, and I'm trying to do more of that. I found the more I fill my mind and thoughts with spiritual things, the better my days go, the better my hours and my moments go. And I would certainly encourage you with that. You know, the message of junk in and junk out is a true message, but it's also a message of good things in. And the Bible teaches that in Philippians 4. We tried to talk about that. May end up there yet, but we tried to talk about that last night. It says, if there be any praise and if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. It's important what you're putting in your thoughts, what you're inputting, and what you're meditating upon. And that's really what he's telling these brethren here. He goes, and let me read the text. He says in verse 11, and I am so thankful for the sweet prayer. I feel the Lord was certainly in that. Thankful for all we've experienced already this morning. The hymn selection was just wonderful. We sang some. I love it when we sing some of those old hymns that we had been maybe a long time ago since we sang them. You know, we don't sing them that often. Sometimes we'll miss them. And sometimes it was a brother or sister that was here that would always select that hymn. And now that they're gone, we don't sing it as much. And it kind of brings back a lot of good memories when we sing those old hymns, not only of the brethren that were here, but the times of fellowship we had, and also the truth that's in those hymns. So sound are the hymns that we ought to be singing that give honor and praise and glory to the Lord. And I'm thankful for what the Lord's given us already today. He says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And that's a wonderful way to leave this little group as he was writing to them. And he closed that way. He says, finally, you know, you're always, if you hear a preacher stand before you and you kind of seat's getting a little hard and you're sitting there, when he gets to the word finally, sometimes you go like, okay. With old Baptist preachers, it doesn't usually mean very much, because once they say finally, well, that's the first part of their finally, because then usually they come into another finally. And you'll find, even in the scripture at times, it seems like the Lord moved them to say finally, but then it kind of goes a long ways. This didn't take very long, but I'll tell you, there's more said here than we'll ever get preached at. He said, finally, brethren. I know I get hung up on that word. I've probably talked about that a lot of times. Y'all probably, you know, heard it a lot of times, or you're about to hear it again. We have a close relationship that we have because of what the Lord's done for us. He has made us brothers and sisters in Christ. And that means we have been brought from a state of death in trespasses and in sins to a state of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a relationship. That means, as my brother, your problems are my problems, your joys are my joys. As my sister, when you hurt, I hurt. When you're in trouble, I feel like I'm in trouble. We're not alone in this old world. Aren't you thankful that we're not alone? I'm thankful that I have brothers and sisters that I can go to when I'm in trouble and call upon them and get help. Those that are closer to me than the ties of nature, those that are closer to me than what blood could ever be as far as natural blood. We are tied together in a bloodline that exceeds the bloodline of Adam. We're in the bloodline, but it's the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being washed in His blood, we have brethren that we can look to in this world, and we're not alone. There's a whole family of God. Some of them are in heaven, and some of them are on earth. And they are our brethren. What a blessed name to be called brothers. Old Baptists have always kind of held to that. You know, they look kind of silly sometimes when you're out in the world and, you know, you'll be walking along and I'll say, "Hey, Brother Bobby." And he'll say, "Hey, Brother Gary." And if folks don't know us, they'll think, "Well, you know, what's this all about?" I remember many years ago when Sister Robin would be working with me on the job. She didn't have any hesitation. She wasn't nearly as hesitant as I was. She was not ashamed of the gospel. And she would say, "Brother Gary," anywhere. So much so that a lot of people we worked thought we were brother and sister. Because she always referred to me as brother, and I always referred to her as sister. Not as much as she referred to me, but we call one another brother and sister on the job, right there in front of others. And some thought we were. And we were. Daddy, yesterday, they asked, "Who is this?" Brother Melvin said, "Who is that?" And he said, "Well, that's my brother." And I thought of the many times I'd said, "Brother Daddy." And the many times I'd heard him say, "Brother Son." And that is a closer relationship that I have with him than what we have as father. As close as I am to him, it's more close. That he's my brother Daddy and I'm his brother Son. And that's a wonderful thing. What's good about that is not only is it tied to my natural family, it's good to have it in your natural family. Some of you grew up with that, where you had that all in the family, and that was a great, great blessing. But it wasn't just with your natural family. We've got brethren here at this church that I'm as close to today. I haven't known you as long, but I know you better than some of my own natural family. I know you better because we can be honest with one another. First of all, we come together as brethren saying, "We're no good." And that's not a whole lot of places you can go and tell everybody that. Some people will think when you say that, well, you need to go get a doctor to help you out of this depression that you're in and try to fix you up. But the honest thing about it is that we all know this. We are weak and we're a mess and we're without any help. and we have with that in his strength. And if you lean on me alone and I lean on you alone and we lean on one another, we're all going to be a mess. I'm not your strength and you're not my strength. And we can be a strength to one another, but only one way. And that is when we look to the Lord as our strength. This verse is still on my mind. I had it there last night, but Psalm 19, the very last verse, I believe it's 14, says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's been a help to me, and I want to keep it there right now in my mind. When I need strength, I need to know who my strength is. And that strength is not going to be in your husband. It can be if the Lord blesses him to be your help. But sometimes he might be the last help. Somebody, don't get too quick, sisters. It might be the last help you want. Don't want to go there. You're to be a help, husbands. You're to be a help. And wives, you're to be able to help on your husband. I think sometimes how, you know, I've often told Sister Sharon, I said, if I go out of this world, I sure hope I go first, because if I go first, she'll just click right along just fine. But if she goes first, I'm going to be in trouble. Big trouble. You'll see what a mess I'm in. But you know, we don't have any control over that, do we? As a matter of fact, every good thing, get this, every good thing coming down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So the strength that I found, even in my relationship as husbands and wives, the strength I found from my family and from my children, as well as from my parents, the strength that we've gained, and is that our life filled with that? Can you not rejoice today in the blessings that we've had in our mothers and in our fathers, the blessings we've had in our natural families, the blessings that we've had in our children, all that God has given to us, and the blessings we have in our church and among all the brethren? But remember this, none of them are the source of our strength. They are blessings that have been given to us. And one day, it's not going to be like where we are now always. The psalmist said, "When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Can I hear you? I want you to hear this. One day, mama's not going to be there to call. One day, daddy's not going to be there. And sometimes when you call them, you don't get the right answers. You don't get everything just straight. Mamas and daddies do the best they can, but they are like all of us. They fail. And even when they do their very best, sometimes they speak out of turn. Sometimes they get things mixed up. Sometimes they'll say things that seem to hurt you more than you wonder how can they say that. Listen, there's a help that comes that you can count on every single day, and that's where the Apostle Paul wanted them to look. He says, your help comes from the Lord. And he really says it in this word. First he says, finally, brethren, he says, farewell. Now you look at that word and you read over it, okay, he said goodbye. And we all say goodbye a lot of times. See you later. Farewell. So long. There's a lot more in this word than just farewell. This word, if you look it up in the Bible, look at it, get you a strong concordance and look it up, you'll see it's a whole lot more than just saying goodbye. This word is the same word as rejoice. It's just translated here as farewell. It's the same word as rejoice. And in other places it's translated rejoice. This word is about having a conscience that you're unaware of and delighting in God's grace. It's to delight in God's grace. I want you today to work at delighting in God's grace. When you're feeling down, you need to delight in God's grace. You need to remember the words of the Apostle Paul unto the church at Corinth. You want to remember to delight in God's grace. You want to remember to rejoice. You want to remember to be conscious. That is to be aware and experience the grace of God. That means God's grace. Can I say this? God's grace is with you right now this morning. By the way, God's grace was with you yesterday. God's grace was with you all last week. God's grace was with you from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb. God's grace was really active and working even in a covenant of grace that occurred before the very foundation of the world. God's grace is like His love. God's love is everlasting. God's grace is eternal. God's grace is with us every single day, every single moment of the day. And the Apostle Paul is saying farewell, which he says rejoice. Remember God's grace. Let me remind you of God's grace. Let me point out to you God's grace. Let you be conscious of God's grace. And would you truly experience it? In other words, God's grace is just as real for you right at this moment, whether you recognize it or not. I just, as a minister, am charged with the duty of helping you recognize that I'm supposed to say to you, farewell. Now, I'm not leaving, but not right now anyway. But I want us to remember God's grace. Listen, make an effort this week to remember God's grace. Be conscious of it. Remember that God is good to me every day, just as good as He sends a day and His night and the night. When things work out like I want them. Listen, sometimes things work out in life just like you want it to. Not very often, but sometimes it does. And most of the time, you've got a bump along the way. You've got things in your way that you don't understand because you don't have the wisdom. And I don't have the wisdom that God sends us. That only can come from God. And we face those things, but we want to remember that God's grace is with us every moment, every second, has been and will ever be. Not because I made it. It's His grace. It's unmerited. It is what He has given us, and He showed us that grace by sending His darling Son into this world and paying the sin debt so that He could pour out His blessings upon us that was Jesus deserved and earned and merited. We didn't, and we are recipients of His grace. God's grace, the hymn writer said, has been so good to me. I want to praise His name. A little sister that's got ALS who can't talk anymore, can't put her words together and say what she'd like to say, just like you and I do every day and take it for granted. She can't do that. And her brain is working just fine, and she knows, you know, she wants to tell her children, I love you. You know she wants to tell her husband, thank you. You know she wants to say so many things that, you know, how would it be to have all those thoughts in and no mouth to say them with? And rather than looking at what I don't have and what I can't do, God's grace has allowed her. God's grace is still with her. And God's grace has allowed her to be thankful for the technology and the wisdom that was given so that I can now, when I can't even move my hand, I can look at the screen and type the words that I want to say, and others can hear my expressions, and also thankful that I got a mind that can think. You know, if your mouth worked and your mind didn't, it's hard telling. You know, a lot of times that's happened. You ever had anybody tell you you need to put your brain in gear before you engage, or the other way around, whatever? In other words, work your brain before you run your mouth. It's kind of a, watch what you say. And we got, you know, I said it before I was thinking. And here, this little sister is thankful for the grace of God. Have you ever just gotten down about what's not going right? And you forget how good God's grace has been to me. And you say, well, does that happen to everybody else? Listen, every little child of God goes through those times. That's why the Apostle Paul told these brethren here, rejoice. What he's saying to them is, you remember God's grace. I want you, if you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to remember God's grace. I want you to remember God's grace when you've been in trouble and He was there. I want you to remember God's grace when you feel like He's gone, clean gone and left you. You remember He has never left you. He's promised, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Remember God's grace that gave me His Word. And therefore I want to read that Word and I want to get involved in that Word. And I want to meditate upon it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that means we're to feed on the Word of God. I'm telling you these few little verses today, if you and I could just wrap ourselves around what they're saying, it will help us as we go through this day and every day God gives us, just to remember, God's grace is there every single day for me. And when you get up in the morning, you say, I got a whole lot going on. We've talked about a lot going on, but I tell you, God's grace is there and will be there every single day. And I ought to be sharing that with others of God's children. That's what He made me for. That's why I'm here. That's what He created me for. And I've just got a little short time in this world. I'm getting old fast. And just hang in there, somebody will tell you how old you're getting fast. You know, they'll let you know. And we're not going to be here always. Thanks be to God. One day we'll be out of this world. But while I'm here, and I got my family to talk to, I want to say farewell. I want to say God's grace. Be conscious of it. Be aware of it. I want you to remember that. You, my brothers and sisters, when you get troubles and problems and heartache and you don't know how to handle them, remember God's grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul said His grace is sufficient. He was told when he had that thorn in the flesh and he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, remove this thorn from me. He said, and he had asked the Lord three times for that and it didn't seem to have moved. I remember the word that came back, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, I wish everybody listening is good as little Rosie. Little bless her heart. Eyes right on you, mouth open. I don't know what she's thinking, but she sure looks like she's listening. I'm going to take it as you're listening, girl. Oh, God's grace is good. He allowed me to see Him as a little boy. Yes, young. I felt Him with me. I didn't find Jesus. He found me. And His hand was on me, and it's been on me. When I was messing up, and I messed up, and still mess up so many times, He has never left me. And to have moments where you don't know the answers, and you can get down on your knees, and you can talk to Him, and you know He hears you, and you feel His presence. And He manifests that to you. The more I can keep that in my mind. And there's an old flesh that wants you to battle and go the other way. And listen, there are devils and the devil that are out there that are trying to keep us from thinking about those things and getting our minds on all the things that seem to be going the wrong way. See, he's a liar. He will lie to you all the time. He'll say things to you like God doesn't really love you, or that God doesn't care, or that God has left you. He's turned His back. This wouldn't be happening. I'm telling you, there's a God who's in heaven who is with His children and has been there from their very conception, and He'll be with us until death. And when it comes time for us to die, we won't be alone. He'll carry us out of this old troubled world to be with Him in glory. We got brethren here while we're here, and I want to help you as much as I can. And I need your help. And that's our calling, and that's our duty, and that's our responsibility. We ought to say to one another all the time, farewell. That is, you know, farewell. That doesn't mean I'm just going by. It means rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's what that word means. And then he continues to go on and give commandments. He says, be perfect. Boy, if we didn't understand what that meant, we'd really get confused, wouldn't we? Be perfect. How in the world? Some people think that means you're going to be without sin. I want to say to you right now, we'll never get where we are without sin as long as we're here in this world. There'll be a day we're there, but it won't be while we're living here in this world. This be perfect is to be in a good working order. That's what it really means. In other words, be perfect means to be in a good working order as you are walking in your life. It's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. It's talking about walking away to honor God. It's talking about take what God has put in you. Take the faith that God has given you and use it and exercise it. Take the love that God has put in you and love one another as He has loved us. Take the peace that God is for us in our life and wear it. Let it rule in our hearts and in our lives. We're to walk in a way to honor and glorify God. To be perfect means, as a little child of God, to fulfill the calling that God has given you. That is, every single day that you live, God has been good to you, and therefore we are obligated to live our lives in a way to honor and glorify Him. It doesn't mean to be without sin or within perfection, because if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. We have an advocate with the Father that will that takes care of our sin and our sin problems, but you and I have a responsibility to live the very best we can to the glory and the honor and the praise of God. I ask you, be honest with yourself. Well, there are some days you're just not in good working order. Is there some days your thoughts are wrong in the wrong place? There are some days that the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart would not be acceptable unto God. There are sometimes you're thinking the wrong way. There are sometimes you're talking and saying the wrong thing. Where are you today? Are you happy that you're here? Are you upset about being here? Listen, this is a house of God. This is a place that the Lord has made. This is the place that He told us to come and present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. This place is more important than any football game. This place is more important than any other place on the face of the planet. This is the place that God has designed for His little children to come in and worship Him and praise Him and give glory and honor and praise unto Him. But sometimes you and I even come to the house of God and we're not in good working order, because our thoughts, our heart, our words sometimes might be in the right place, but our thoughts are far from Him. And somebody says, well, what can I do about that? We can go to the one who is our strength. We can go to the Lord. Who is our help? We can go to the Lord. And what He has taught us in His Word, and as we look together at His Word, it'll help us. I come to church to get in working order. I come into church in order to be fed. I come to praise the Lord. But in doing that, I get corrected and instructed, and I have my mind renewed. I have my pure mind renewed. I become transformed by the renewing of my mind. So I stop thinking like the world and acting like the world and talking like the world. And I remember, listen, I am a child of the King. I am one of the brethren. I belong to the Lord. And therefore I am responsible to live my life rejoicing in Him. When things are going well, I'm to rejoice in Him. When things are going having a difficult time, I'm to rejoice in Him. That doesn't mean you're always just smiling and happy, but it means you have a joy and a contentment and a peace that the world cannot take from you. And that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, be perfect. Now that's a commandment for us. Be in good working order. Put on the whole armor of God. It's really talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about putting on the robe that He's given us of His righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, to wear that, to hold the shield of faith, to have the helmet of salvation, to have our loins girded about with the truth, to have on the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's talking about being rooted and grounded in the love of God and exercising that love. Not only recognizing He loves me, but because He loves me, I'm to love one another. It'll help husbands love their wives and wives love their husbands. It'll help our families. It'll certainly keep our church together and at peace. He says, be perfect. He says, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Oh, we're to be of good comfort to one another. We're to comfort one another. One of the charges given to the ministry is, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Some ministers think it's their job to scare everybody, to scare them into motion. But Isaiah says, comfort ye, my people. Do you know that's my job and that's your job, to help comfort one another, to be comforting to each one of God's little children that we can? And how can we comfort them? Well, by sharing with them that the Lord is always with you. Saying farewell. Rejoice. The Lord is with you. And let them know what the reality of the truth is. That as you're facing troubles and heartache in this world, you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you're to be of good comfort. And not only is it telling you to comfort others, but it's also saying receive the comfort that comes from others. Sometimes we don't. You ever get feeling so bad you don't want anybody to help you to feel better? You just get in that pity party and you just ride it out, and you get down in there and somebody comes to try to make you feel better, and you just get out of here. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Remember this: we're to give one another comfort, and we're to receive that comfort. And you can't do this in the outward man, you have to do it in the inner man by the Spirit of Almighty God. And then he says, be of one mind. How in the world can we be of one mind? Well, there's only one way, and that is for us to come to the Word of God and let it be our guide, let it be our principle. What the Bible stands for, we want to stand for. What it says, we want to say. What it tells us to think, we're to think as He's taught us to think. We are to put that in practice in our life. We're to have that in the forefront of our minds, to be of one mind, to live in peace. I want you to know that the peace of God reigns in the hearts of God's children today. It is there. It is given to you. There's times that we're not walking in that peace and we don't feel that peace because we have not let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And he says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now listen, if you can feel Him with you, everything's okay, isn't it? When you can feel the Lord. And He's a God of love. He loved you forever. He loved you so much He came down to the depths of this earth where you were, took upon Himself a body of flesh, was made like unto us, here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. He became our advocate. He became our propitiation. He paid the price for us. And He loved us so much that He's carrying us from the depths we were in to the heights of glory. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And the breadth of His love covers every little air of promise, those that He loved in covenant before the very foundation of the world. And He says, the God of love and peace shall be with you. That doesn't mean that God... Is there ever a time that God is not with you? I believe God is everywhere present, nowhere absent. I know you do too. But there are sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we don't see it. We'd act a lot different if we always felt it and saw it. It says here that as we are perfect in the sense of being in good working order, and as we are of good comfort and of one mind, and we live in peace, the promise comes, and the God of love and peace shall be with you, which means He'll manifest His presence to us. And then He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's talking about how God's little children ought to be greeting one another. And that is a kiss that shows the affection that God's little children have for one another. That is what we're to do for one another and be for one another. He says, all the saints salute you. Isn't it good when I told Brother Jamie this morning, I said, tell the brethren at Old Mill, I love them and pray for us. And I wanted to salute them. And I know they're thinking he says the brethren always say good things and mention their love to us. That we have love for one another. I mentioned that family a little bit. It's not only just our family here, but God has a people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. And this kingdom is beyond just this little church. We have our fellowship with our sister churches that mean so much to us. All the saints salute you. And then verse 14, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And in this verse, he lays out the Trinity very clearly. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's Jesus Christ the Son, and His grace, what a blessing it is. And then he says, and the love of God the Father. We've talked about His love in the past and continue to talk about that. We'll never exhaust the message of the love of God. And then he says, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Listen, the Holy Ghost is with us each and every day, guiding us and leading us and directing us. And he says, may you feel the presence of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and may it be with you all. And then he closes with this thought, amen, which means so be it, or it is the truth. And I just pray that the Lord would help us to every time we come together, greet one another with a holy kiss, and when we leave, say farewell. But farewell in the sense of rejoice, and remember, keep in your conscience, God is with us. That'll help you as you walk, and as you talk, and as you live, to give Him the honor and the praise and the glory belongs unto Him. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.